The following message was given by Jack Stevens, the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Cyprus. The message is entitled, I Am the Light of the World.
Fathers, we come before you this morning in Jesus' name. And we come to study your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would indeed be our teacher. That, Father, we thank you for the salvation that you've given us and granted to us in Jesus. Father, we thank you that our sin and our wickedness can be cleansed and forgiven, that we can walk in fellowship with you, enjoying your peace and your love. Father, we pray as your Holy Spirit ministers to us today that you would give us ears to hear what he has to say, hearts open to receive it, willingness to grow and to obey it. So, Father, we pray that you would manifest Jesus to us this morning as the light of the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in chapter 9, we get into the next of these seven I Ams of Jesus, and this is the one where he says, I am the light of the world. It's interesting because many times we hear scriptures from the Bible. We hear statements from the Bible like Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So many times you hear that very short phrase, I am the light of the world, over and over and over. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus has come to shine forth in the world. But many times we don't understand what the context of that statement is. And here in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, we actually find the context, Jesus speaking about being the light of the world in relationship to a blind person who can't see light. And what it is it's a teaching. Jesus is using this statement that I am the light of the world to teach about the difference between physical sight and spiritual sight. And I know a lot of people, not a lot of them actually, but I know several people who are blind physically that can see more clearly than most people that can see. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about in the context of being the light of the world, is he is confronting a blind man who has been blind from his very birth, who then will be healed by Jesus, who then will be confronted by the religious leaders of Jesus' time, who are spiritually so blind that they want to kill Jesus for healing this man who was blind from birth. So you can see how some people think that they really have keen insight when really they're blind to spiritual things. Some people who are physically blind, can't see a thing, have incredible spiritual insight. And so that's kind of the background. And again, it's too long to deal with the whole chapter. We'll see how it turns out in the next several weeks if the Lord tarries. But let's jump right into this now that you know the basic background. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So they had an assumption that this blindness was caused by somebody's sin, either his sin or his parents' sin. And Jesus answered and said, neither. So Jesus right away corrects that misconception that a physical infirmity may be a result or is a result of some kind of a sinfulness. Jesus said, neither one. His parents didn't sin. He didn't sin. Yet he is blind. But you're wrong in your thinking. Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And so this man actually had an infirmity so that God would come along and heal him and be glorified in him. Very interesting. And then in verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. That's in connection to the glory of God being revealed. Verse 5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And there that statement is, I have come to do the works of him who has sent me. I have come to do the work while it is time to do the work. There's the nights coming when no one can do the work. And as long as I am in the world, so he was looking towards that day that he was born for, and that was to be crucified. You remember when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I give myself for the life of this world. Jesus was born to die. He came into the world to manifest the light and the love of God, the life of God. But he came to die for our sins, to die in our place instead of us. So he says in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, then I am the light of the world. Now, jump over with me, if you will, to John, St. John, chapter 1. In verse 1 of John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God." In verse 4 it says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So the light came into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Then verse 9 it says, "This was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." Now He, speaking of God, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right, or the power, to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And we realize that in this light of the world, it speaks that He is the life of mankind. Now, we also know that this light came to give life to man. The light came into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend the light. The light came into His own, and His own received Him not. But to whoever did receive Him, He gave them the power then to become the sons of the Father, sons of God, sons of the light. And so the Christian today are called the children of the light. So when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, let your light so shine before man that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven," they're simply saying, walk in the light of Jesus Christ as He was the light and the life of the world, and the world will see Jesus in you. Here in chapter 9, the world is seeing the light of the Father in Jesus. "I am the light of the world. And as long as I am in the world, I will be this world's light." Not only light, though, but life. Now, when I think of the sun, I see the brightness, and it tells me that the light is a result of energy. And that energy that produces that light, when that light reaches the earth, it creates life. You can look at the plant world and see that through the leaves and their ability to take the energy of the sun, the light of the sun, and change it into the very nutriments of its life, the light in this example of the sun brings life to the earth. In the same way that Jesus, as He created the sun, Jesus is the power behind the light of the sun. He is the creator of the sun. And as the sun gives life to the plants of this world, so the Son of God gives life to the humans by the light of God. Now that light has shined into this dark world. Now something that I find very, very interesting, and I don't know about the physics of it, but light always overcomes darkness. Darkness cannot stand up against the intrusion of light. Try it. It will not work. Darkness cannot overcome light. It's impossible. But on the other hand, light always overcomes and conquers darkness. Now, one of the sayings about Pastor Chuck from Costa Mesa, one of the things that he seems to be famous for is he doesn't try to beat the darkness out of people. I might have a tendency to try to do that, and I'm trying to change, but I'm more of that negative to the positive. But a lot of times you don't hear preaching about, you know, stomping and beating the darkness out of people. Sometimes you hear that, but not from Pastor Chuck. Chuck realizes this, and I'm growing to. All you have to do is turn on the light. And the darkness has to go. So instead of beating people up to quit doing darkness, all you do is just flick on the light. And how do you do that biblically? You just show them Jesus. Now you can go home tonight and try to get any room in your house just as dark as you can possibly get it. I used to study in a bomb shelter they made back in the Cuban crisis. And it was absolutely, absolutely dark. And if you turned out the light in there, you couldn't see a thing. Pretty soon you see all those sparks running around with no darkness. Nothing you could see. No light. You could put your hand and touch your nose and you could not see your hand. And yet you light the littlest of candles. Or turn on the smallest of flashlights. And the amount of light that is shined into that room conquers the darkness in that area. And yet you've seen floodlights or even helicopters hundreds of feet in the air can illuminate the sidewalks just as if it was the brightness. Matter of fact, my dad used to brag about Vegas. He says, well, it's so bright in Vegas, you can read a newspaper on the sidewalk. I grew up, it was true. The light had illuminated and had expelled the darkness. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, one of the properties then of his life, he has come to expel the darkness by revealing the light of the Father, by revealing the love and the joy, the peace that comes from the Father. And it will expel the darkness out of your life. You know, people say, well, I don't know if I want to become a Christian because I have to give up all this stuff. Oh, you're wrong. When you become a Christian, you want to give up all of this stuff. Because when you become a Christian, as they say, I've seen the light, and you go, why have I been doing this stupid stuff? Why have I been doing such dumb things? Now that I have seen the light, I don't want to do those anymore. And it's not that God just says, stop doing this, and then leaves you in limbo. Now what do? But you stop willingly desiring to cease doing all this wicked, evil, cheap stuff and begin to do the glorious, wonderful things of God. Walking in love. Showing patience and kindness and forgiveness. And so it's wrong of you to think, well, if I become a Christian, I have to give up all of my things. No. But if you become a Christian, you won't want to do those because God will have given you so much more and so much better things to do that you'll go, boy, that was a cheap trick. Why did I ever feel that those things without Christ ever could fulfill me? Now, light also illuminates. You see, again, with the absence of light, you can't see anything. Turn on a light and that light will reflect off the pigments and cause the pigment of that, whatever you're looking at, to shine. My son is into scuba diving, and he was showing me some underwater pictures. And you could look, and it's just murky, dark, blue, purpley, inkish looking. Did all those words come out? You got the picture. And he said, but Dad, look what happens when you shine this temperature of light. Then certain creatures or certain things would begin to glow underwater. They would be illuminated. And they said, now, Dad, here's a different kind of light. Here's an ultraviolet light. And different things would illuminate. And then he said, Dad, if you shine the full spectrum of light, then the whole bed of the ocean was just glowing in this luminescent, brilliant cascade of colors. And I just went, that is amazing. So certain temperatures of light would cause certain things to illuminate. The full spectrum of light caused all of the things to illuminate. Now, Jesus, the light of the world, comes in, and that light is the life of man, and he shines upon us and shows us the full truth. And that's why the result of light, it reveals the full truth, and that's why sin is exposed. What is sin? The light will expose it. What really is sinful? The light exposes it. Now, some people don't come to the light because their deeds are evil and they don't want to be exposed. Some people like to walk in part of the light so that only part of their sin is exposed, but that they can hide their other kinds of sin by, well, different light illuminates different things. Part of the light will illuminate what is partially sinful. So you can say, well, brother, but I walk in the truth, but then hide in the darkness other areas that aren't illuminated because you're only walking in part of the truth. And that's the danger of error. But Jesus is the true light, the fullness of the brightness of the glory of God. And when he came, he illuminated everything to expose itself as it really is. Some people don't come to the light. We say, you know, why doesn't everyone get saved? God is love. God loves them. God will forgive them. God will cleanse them. But why do people refuse to come to the light? Well, one reason is that their deeds are evil. And they don't want to come to the light because then they're exposed. I was in the Philippines once. It doesn't matter what country, so if you're a Filipino, don't get offended by this. And I walked in, Pedro and I walked into a hotel room, and it was a nice hotel room. And there was this big honking elephant kind of a cockroach. I mean, you could have almost used him as a skateboard. Okay? It would have been a wild ride. And that cockroach, now this blew my mind. I almost had to sit down on the bed and just go, what? As soon as I opened that door and turned on the light, that cockroach flipped over on its back and pretended to be dead. Who taught him that? And we thought, watch this. And we just sat there. For a long time, we thought, is he dead? Did he die of a heart attack? Did we startle him when we walked in? And pretty soon, sure enough, flipped back over and ran off. Now, who taught him to play dead when the light was turned on? How many fellow cockroaches didn't know that and got smushed? And did they cry out, pretend you're dead? And they all learned to pretend to be... What? See? God is so clever when he created these things. He put in their little tiny brain, when the light goes on, turn over. If you want to live. And yet, sometimes, and this sounds bad, we kind of act like cockroaches. Someone turns on the light, we play dead. So that the light won't expose the sin in our life. Light came into the world and the world comprehended it not. Some people don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. Just flip over and pretend you're dead. And you share the gospel, you share the glorious light of the gospel, and you share with people and they say, well, that's good for you. I'm glad for you. Is that called patronizing? Not sure. I think it is. But they say, oh, we're so happy for you that you found what you need. Many times I say, you dummy, you need it too. I'm not as gracious maybe as some people are. If it's good for me, it's good for you. You're wickeder than I am. I came to the light because I'm wicked and I need to be saved. You need to come to the light because you're just as bad as I am. You need to be saved. Quit acting like that cockroach. Now, maybe you at that point would go, do I? Do I hide from the truth? When the light goes on, do I just play dead like it doesn't affect me? When the light goes on, do I run? When I was a little boy on the farm, you turn the light on and mice went everywhere, hiding from the light. Because if you run out there in the light, you're going to get caught. To those who have received the light, now we can see the truth. Before, the truth wasn't really illuminated. Now we could get some wisdom, some illumination, but we never really ever could see clearly. Some people get so adjusted to darkness that they actually can begin to see partial. If you don't have total darkness, you can see partially. And when I was in the world without Jesus, I found myself putting aluminum foil over my windows so I wouldn't know it was daytime. Since I had grown to love the night and live in the night and sleep in the day, I put aluminum foil over my windows so I could keep the light out. But I thought I had real spiritual insight. I thought I could really see, philosophize. Wow, man. Of course, I had to clear the smoke of drugs out of my room once in a while. But man, I thought I was living in the light. And actually, what I was living in was accustomed darkness. I got used to the darkness that I lived in, and I called it light. Put that aluminum foil over the windows. Keep it dark. Don't let that sun come in here. So that the light that I was living in was really darkness. But I was so deceived, it looked light to me, and I thought I could see very clearly. Jesus said, you know, if the light is in you, be darkness. How great is that darkness? If the light that is in you, if really all it is you being accustomed, growing accustomed to darkness, if that is the amount of light in you, nothing but darkness, but you're used to it, and you see it as light, then just how dark, how deceived are you really? I can look back after 25 years of being saved and say, I was so blind, and yet I thought I could see. I was so wrong. I was so deceived until Jesus lit up my world. And then I saw the truth. And instead of running from the truth, I came to the truth. Instead of pretending to be dead to that truth, I turned back over and came to the truth. Because I found that God shining His light on me was not something to destroy me, but rather to save me from the darkness. Not something that would consume me like someone stepping on a bug, but rather God who came to save me from such a terrible death and to adopt me into His family, to change my nature and make me one of His own children that I could be a child of the light, a child of the truth, that I might have true life, abundant life. And so instead of running from the light, I said, though my sins are many, very wicked, very evil, Lord, forgive me and cleanse me. Cut away all of this wickedness and set me free to be one of your children. Now, I didn't say that all at that time. I didn't know that at the time. But now I can look back and add all the words that I wished I could have when I just said, forgive me. Save me. And so Jesus, He confronts this blind man who had been blind from his birth. And unconventionally, he spits on the ground, makes some mud, puts it in this man's eyes, and the man can see. There's nothing magical about the spit or the mud or the dirt. It's simply the light giving a blind man sight. Physically, he was blind. Physically, he saw. But a greater gift did Jesus give than physical sight, the man gained spiritual sight. Because if you read the story, first of all, the man said, I don't know who this man was. The man who was blind said about Jesus, I don't know who he was. All I know is that I was blind and now I can see. See? Well, I don't know much about Jesus. All I know is that I'm a sinner and he saved me. The man grew to say, well, I guess he was a prophet. See, he's spiritually getting in tune. I don't know who he was. Well, he was a prophet. The religious leaders who thought they could see spiritually but were really blind kicked him out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that the blind man who was now healed was kicked out of church because he said Jesus was a prophet. found the now seeing man and said, "Do you believe?" He said, "Lord, who should I believe in?" And Jesus said, "I who am speaking to you." And the man who now could see could say, "Lord, I believe in you." And he worshiped Jesus. The spiritual leaders, in their hypocrisy, see, hypocrisy had really blinded these spiritual leaders, who were supposed to show Israel the light, lead people to the light. In their hypocrisy, had become so blind they couldn't see the light when it was shining in their face. And yet they claimed to have keen spiritual insight. But they couldn't see Jesus. They couldn't see the truth about him because of their hypocrisy. So you have a sinner who is blind and could see now. You have a hypocrite who said, "I can see," but really couldn't, was blind as a bat. Oh, correct, my bats aren't really blind. They have sonar, yak, yak. Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. You never know where you're going to get hit from. And then you have those who did believe, the blind man who was healed. What kind of a person do you want to be? Run from the light? Come to the light? Or say you're in the light, but are nothing but a hypocrite? Now back to verse 5. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Let's stand.
While listening to this tape, perhaps God's Spirit has been talking to your heart. If you felt the need to draw closer to your Creator, why not start today? God has provided a way for man to enter into relationship with Him forever, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the children of God. You too can receive Him right now by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and asking Him to come into your life and to be Lord and Savior of your life. Now, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you can do so through a simple little prayer. Just open up your heart and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Please come into my heart and into my life. Please make my life acceptable unto you. Thank you, Lord, for your gift of eternal life. And I receive you this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, you are a new person. All your past sins and faults have been forgiven by God. And in His eyes, you are a brand new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, as a newborn spiritual infant, you should seek the sincere milk of God's Word so that you may grow by it. So read your Bible and pray to the Lord often and seek out other Christians and enter into fellowship with them. We'd love to hear of your decision for Christ. And we'd love to give you a free study of the Book of John on cassette by Pastor Chuck Smith. Jesus never turned a spiritual or hungry or thirsty soul away, but filled everyone who asked. So we'd like to do the same for you in His name. So please write to us at the address on this tape and tell us of your needs and what the Lord has done for you today. May the Lord bless you now and keep you in everything you do and everything you say. And welcome to the family.